Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Day one of Free Lindsay here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very serious show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, the heat and Israel led every other newscast, but here in Los Angeles, yeah. It was all Lindsay Lohan.
It's all about
all
Lindsay.
The time.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from Celebutard Central here in Hollywood. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor. What's that on your fingernail, Rebecca? What are you pointing at me? Lindsay Lohan had F you on her fingernail.
Yeah.
That's the breaking news out of Hollywood this morning, everybody.
While she was crying.
Rebecca Taylor just brought this in to us.
She's my hero.
You've modeled yourself after her, haven't you?
Or she's modeled herself after me.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure that's the way
it is. How much office stuff have I already asked you to do this morning?
Yeah.
Now that I'm back from New York?
She gives me all this menial ish to do now that she's back.
Copying and FedExing and things.
Like, God forbid someone sees Stephanie Miller copying in the hallway.
Seriously, I don't know how to do it.
No,
really?
I know you don't. It's obvious.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
She's,
how have you gotten through life?
I think Lindsay Lohan models herself on Rebecca Taylor. I think that's where she got the FU on the fingernail.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the breaking news. TMZ, Rebecca's reporting this. Maybe the crying and begging. Maybe just acting.
But she's not that good of an actress.
She isn't.
Lindsay Lohan was spotted with written on her middle fingernail the entire time she was in court yesterday. She had it on her left-hand middle fingernail, which was pointed toward the judge for most of the day.
What do you think?
According to TMZ, she also was served with legal papers in another lawsuit while she was in court.
Yes.
Yeah, talk about a buzzkill for her. She was like, oh, I should have done more coke this morning. Allegedly.
Yeah, the process server says she freaked out and told people around her to get the guy out of the elevator. She wouldn't take the papers, so the process server dropped them at her feet. I don't think for some reason she has as fine a understanding of the legal process as, say, Elena Kagan. Somehow it's just you've been served already, for God's sake. The papers are at your feet. I didn't touch them. I didn't touch them. It's not like hot potato.
Right.
I didn't touch the thing. I didn't touch them at all, so I'm not served. All right, so, that's probably not going to go down. No, she hasn't been sentenced yet, so that may not go down well with the judge, the whole...
No, she was...
F you on the fingernail.
No, she was sentenced.
Oh, she was sentenced, but yeah, she doesn't go for
90 days to 90 days in jail, but she doesn't go for 2 weeks.
Wow.
She doesn't go until 2 weeks from now.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what will happen.
Well,
in those
so we can
weeks.
Sit vigil the whole 2 weeks now.
I thought when you were sentenced, you went to jail immediately. Like, they took you into custody and you went to jail. Why does she get
yeah,
2 weeks?
Yeah, she has time to go to several more foreign capitals and do way a lot of lines of coke, doesn't she? Before?
Wow.
Yeah, wait, do you have that one? Hang on, this is hilarious. This is Lindsay Lohan from yesterday about missing her alcohol classes. I'm in alcohol class every night.
Yeah.
I wasn't missing the classes, just hang out, do anything like that. I was working mostly in Morocco, the trip. I was working with children. It wasn't a vacation. It wasn't some sort of a joke.
I was working with children.
I was in Morocco working with children. Oh, it's not a joke. Okay. Oh, yeah. As you pointed out, Chris, quite maybe coincidentally or not, there mm-hmm. also where there's pictures of her from Cannes with the lines of coke in front of her.
Or lines of a powdery white substance.
A powdery white substance, which, of course, were powdered donuts for the children. It's not.
Somebody please think of the children.
There's Lindsay thinking of the children and you, implying it's some sort of illicit substance. Powdered donuts from a party for the children. Okay. Did anybody keep a straight face during that one?
No.
I was in Morocco working with children?
No.
That's interesting because there's a few pictures of you in no underpants at a nightclub.
Yeah.
It's a nightclub. It's a nightclub for children. Uh-huh.
In Morocco. Marrakesh.
Oh,
the sex change capital of the world.
She is a hot mess.
Yeah.
Although we have said on this show in our progressive compassionate stance that she's very talented, and I think this is good, don't you? I think it's good because I think she really needs help. I think she's really talented.
She needs help.
A hot mess.
I don't know that she's all that talented.
Well,
I mean, she hasn't had a good performance since The Parent Trap, and that was a long time ago.
Oh, I thought she was great. What's the other one, Rebecca?
Mean Girls?
Yes, thank you.
Right.
By the way, I got a lot of emails. I was right about Die Hard. I was making the analogy. I left Max, who was a big white dog, in Harlem for a week, and he wasn't happy about it. I said, it's one of the scenes from Die Hard where they leave Bruce Willis in Harlem naked. With a sign
there
saying,
are
I hate
four Die Hard N-words. Movies. There was Die Hard.
It's Die Hard
there was
3.
Die Hard 2. There
it was
Die Hard with a Vengeance, which is what you were talking about. And there was Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, you're such a stickler. I said a Die Hard movie, Rebecca. That's a Die Hard movie.
No, you said Die Hard.
I said it was in one of the Die Hard movies.
No, you said it was in Die Hard.
Rebecca, go get the tape. Oh, he has the tape. Never mind.
I have the tape.
Forget it. I quit again.
You've got to stop that. All right. You can email us all at the Stephanie Miller Show apologizes, by the way. We did send out a mass email that Mama would be on the Larry King.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. And then Mama was not on the Larry King.
Because of?
And we apologize to the people that missed the fabulous Rachel episode from Afghanistan waiting for Mama and Larry King. I apologize.
Yes.
This is the problem in the breaking news business. I got booked, and then who knows?
Lindsay Lohan. It was because of Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. That biatch. That's the breaking news, was Lindsay Lohan. I got bumped for that coke whore. Oh, pardon me.
Alleged coke
whore. See, there
whore.
Goes my progressive compassion.
Alleged coke whore.
Tis, tis. But seriously,
exactly.
I haven't been as excited about anything since Paris Hilton got arrested.
Yes,
really.
I know.
This
oh, remember
so
the
exciting.
Helicopters? All helicopters, 24/7, above my house in Hollywood. And I literally called Chris. I'm like, what's happening? Is it some sort of terrorism, something that... No, it's Paris Hilton's driving somewhere. We're so pathetic in Hollywood. I was like, so? What? I don't even remember that now. What was she doing?
That was them taking her to jail.
Yeah, I remember she was drunk and she was getting a burger or something, and the controversy was it was an In-N-Out burger. It wasn't a Carl's Jr. burger.
Because she did the ads
commercial.
For Carl's Jr. Yeah.
Right.
She just annoys me, and I don't think I've even heard her speak. Just pictures of her annoy me.
You've never
just
heard
that look
her
just
speak?
Look on her face. I've heard her speak.
And you've seen her cooter, too.
Well, who hasn't?
We all have, right?
yeah. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, anyway, yes, Lindsay Lohan. That's why we got because he was going to do a political panel.
Yes.
And no, that's biatch.
So what's up with Larry King? Are you replacing him? Or
yeah,
what's
I understand. Why, there's the other breaking news, Rebecca. Thank you. Paul in Asheville, North Carolina alerts us to the fact there is a Facebook group for getting Mama to replace Larry King.
And there's a link to that Facebook group at your Facebook page, Stephanie.
Stephan, the guys, is there anything we can do to give this some juice? Why? Consider yourself juiced, Paul. There you go.
Just go to the Stephanie Miller Facebook page and you'll find the link there.
Yes, join the groundswell to get Mama to replace Larry King.
Computer says no.
Not going to happen. But anyway.
Wait, you're not going to...
Because Ryan Seacrest must have his 100th job. There is no room for Mama to have him.
Aren't you going
to
quit this radio show so we can all sleep in?
She's the only one that's rooting for that in this economy. She's just
please get a TV show, Stephanie, please.
And take us all with
you. Listen, I've fallen for that trick before.
You did.
Not quitting the radio. I did that once. Right. I'm like, here I go. Off to beat Leno and Letterman. And have a couple of years of extended unemployment.
Well, you had 12 weeks of a 13-week run. That was pretty good.
Yes, and then Danny Bonaduce got my last week. That's what happens.
Yeah.
When Danny Bonaduce appears, Rebecca, that is the show business angel of death.
Yeah.
The day he fills in for me, you'll know the end is nigh. All right. Here's the thing, though. I do get to do some things with some fine Americans every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you were to go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com,
yes,
you would see that Mama will be in Seattle on Saturday, August 14th, where it's the big town hall we have every year. Me and Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, that hoa, Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy, and special guest Ron Reagan. You can go to am1090seattle.com to see how you get tickets for that fine event that we do every year.
Yeah, or just go to the calendar of events section in the show section of StephanieMiller.com.
It's always a good time is had by all. Remember the year the driver got us all lost? He had every host in the car, and he was going somewhere entirely different than the Yeah, and everybody was completely true to character. Randy Rose in the back. It's 15 after! We're going to be like, do you understand? We're the whole show! She's just yelling. Mike Malloy is out of his mind, well, screaming.
Well, that's kind of par for the course for Mike Malloy.
What are you, a Nazi? Get us! Yeah, he was screaming. Tom Hartman was, you know, doing the algorithm for something on his BlackBerry GPS.
On his abacus.
Something on his abacus getting us there. Everyone was exactly in character. I'm doing fart jokes. I was just, oh, boy. All right. Or maybe I was actually fat. I don't remember. Okay.
That could be.
All right. Wow. Was I happy that I'm back in L.A. East Coast seeks respite as temperatures soar above 100.
Yeah.
Zoinks. And by the way, can I just say, you know Manny, my super that I hated?
Yes.
Remember that wanted to charge me to let me back into my own apartment in New York? He did a crap job putting in my air conditioner, and I'm sure it's fallen out by now. I just thought I'd point that out. There's just, that's how I got old, Rebecca. There's no work ethic these days.
You are such an old kid.
I mean, was it a window air conditioner?
Yes.
You can install that yourself.
Oh, he put it in with putty. It was all over the wall. It's half
falling out. You know what, Stephanie? Learn how to do something.
Yeah, you can put that in yourself.
Is it harder than using the copy machine? Because then then forget it.
You can't even turn on a computer.
The East Coast roasted under an unrelenting sun as record-setting temperatures soared past 100 from Virginia to Massachusetts. Yikes. New York currently making its own gravy.
Yes.
Temperature broke records in New York where it hit 103. Is the queen melted yet?
She was only in New York for 5 hours. She hot-footed it out of there, back to London.
That's her first visit to New York City in more than 3 decades.
Yeah.
Was she wearing the robes and the crown and all that? And it had to have been hot.
She wore a giant hat.
Hot, itchy.
She wore a giant hat.
To protect herself from the sun?
I don't know what it was, but it was huge.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. We are on Lindsay Watch all morning. There's going to be helicopters this morning. It's going to be very exciting in Hollywood. Rita Cosby over there! Oh, Lindsay! 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Eating, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just shoved a carrot into your mouth 5 seconds before you're supposed to go on the. What is wrong with you? How long have you been doing this?
I was on vacation. I should have gone back to broadcasting school. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jackie in Santa Cruz, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jack.
Hi, good morning, folks. You know, I think the decent thing to do would be to plan a wake for Michael Steele. I mean, let's forget
political
about Lindsay for a while.
Yeah, but you know, isn't that the best news that we've heard as Democrats in how long, that he is not going to lose his job?
I know, but why should you live in a country where they kill you for telling the truth, you know? Really?
Well, you know, the problem, though, Jackie, is the first thing he said made absolutely no sense. So, you know, the whole, this is a war of Obama's choosing?
But forget that. The main thing is that at the end he told the truth. And we want the truth, for God's sake. Let's live for the truth, please.
Right. And that's why the Republican Party wants him gone.
Yeah, exactly. It's the part that he was right about, that they need him gone for.
Well,
yeah.
They're going to be gone in a few years anyway. You wait and see. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. I know it will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks.
All right. Thank
Goodbye.
You, baby. Thank you, guy. Goodbye now. That's the... Steel's not going anywhere. Let me stop and wipe my eyes. He is staying put, the breaking news this morning, as a Republican Party chairman. I guess Mel Gibson not available?
No. He's,
On some sort of program?
Yes, or something.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that was the best joke yesterday. Charlie Pierce said, everyone can be pretty sure that I didn't break my foot climbing the 12 steps.
Yeah.
That was... Oh, it's... little program joke. Despite his widely condemned comments on Afghanistan, even his Republican critics want to avoid a drawn-out fight over the party's most prominent African-American just 4 months before midterm elections. Instead, GOP elders are working around Steele. I love this. Yeah. They're just pretending he's not there.
Right.
Illustrating their lack of confidence in his leadership at the Republican National Committee and the challenge he would face should he seek a second term in January. This is one of those times, Chris, that I really wish my dad were still around, mm-hmm. who is a former chairman of the Republican Party and right. ran with Barry Goldwater in 64, because I think it's not going out on the limb much to say worst RNC chair ever. I think so. I mean, they've had some boobs, I'm just saying.
I mean, I can't even think of a single good thing he's done.
I know. Fundraising? No.
No. Fundraising is way down under him.
No. Not committing a gaffe a week? No.
Computer says no.
No.
Why are they keeping him?
Because
he...
Exactly. If they had listened to Jim Warden in the first place when he said, you do get that it's not just any black guy, right? They're so pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, right after we elect the first black president, it's like, we got one.
Oh my goodness, he's black.
That's exactly how the Sarah Palin thing imploded. You got Hillary. Well, look, we got a chick that is nothing like Hillary.
Yeah.
That is nowhere near the brains or experience.
Or gravitas.
No. Okay, this is how it implodes on them, because they're trying to sort of look, progressive. Mm-hmm. All right, and good job. Good job on Michael Steele. Good pick. Hard to believe that he was the chairman of their choosing.
Wow.
But I guess he was. Oh, well. All right. So lots to get to this morning. We have, Carl Frisch of Media Matters for America, co-hosting a rollicking right-wing world
He's
next hour.
Fresh and exciting.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Goodwin, president of the Office and Professional Employees International Union that Mama just spoke to in D.C. a couple of weeks ago. And Hal Sparks will be calling it in. He'll be phoning it in, his hump. Hump Days with Hallie is in Dallas.
Right.
Yes. By the way, my car apparently on its way from Texas, is what I'm told. Maybe tonight. Might get here tonight, my car, maybe.
So I might get a call very early tomorrow morning saying, come pick Mama up.
Yeah, might be driving Miss Steffi still. Because Danny from Chicago called probably tonight. Could be Thursday. But it's on the way from Texas.
Isn't there a bunch of stuff in your car that needs to be unloaded?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Why? What are you doing? You have some muscly friends as well, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a gym workout.
Yeah, but at midnight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, whenever it gets there. All right.
Oh, God.
All right. So, and don't forget, tomorrow, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Jim Wallace.
Yes.
And another Face the Grayson with Alan Grayson. All right. So, some other breaking news, by the by. Twice divorced? Hawaii governor?
Yes.
Linda Lingle vetoes a bill to allow same-sex unions. She's out there protecting the sanctity of marriage and the whatever.
Mm-hmm. Would it be impolite of me to say that she kind of looks like a lesbian?
Well, I don't... It wouldn't be impolite. It's... I'm just saying she's twice divorced, and she's out there protecting the sanctity of marriage. Linda Lingle gave a news conference in the Hawaii State Capitol building in Honolulu, announcing she has vetoed Hawaii's same-sex civil unions bill. The legislation, which was approved by the legislature in April, which would have made Hawaii one of six states, in addition to California, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, and Washington, to give the rights of marriage to same-sex couples without sanctioning marriage itself. Wow. Who, you know,
so it's not even gay marriage.
No.
It's civil unions.
No.
And
it's
she
just
vetoed
giving
it.
Everybody the same rights.
She's a skank.
Well, yes, in fact.
That's yes.
So that's the breaking news there.
That's infuriating.
So she's not technically currently herself sanctifying marriage. She's
right.
Twice divorced. But if she gets married again, then of course she will be. Once again, protecting the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In this business, the price of success is very high, especially for women. I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to the way to the top.
Oh, who doesn't love a good Piazzadora drop?
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm sorry, I was just redoing my military experience resume because Representative Joe Sestak will be on the show tomorrow as well. Who thinks I'm Randy Rhodes? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jerry in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jer.
Hi, Stephanie. I am so glad to get to you. Listen, you guys, Karl Rove is getting the money for the Democrats Party, not the other guy.
Oh, he's Michael Steele. I mean, Karl Rove basically, Jerry, started like a shadow Republican National Committee because
right.
Michael Steele is so incompetent. And yet, and the, what did we, Chris, they raised like $100 or something, didn't they?
Yeah, 200. I think it was 200.
No. Karl Rove, now the one that had Republicans to switch over and vote for Blanche Lincoln, they intend to run their guy against Blanche Lincoln in the general election because they know Democrats aren't going to vote for him. And that black guy that they get put up,
Alvin
they
Green.
Know that he's not, Democrats are not going to vote for him. So that's going to be two more deadhead Republicans they're going to put in with Obama. Karl Rove is getting money. He's getting money from corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Don't think they just got pennies. And they don't want him out because I think they framed him with that little situation with the club and all that so they could get everybody to send the money to them.
Oh, interesting. All right, Jerry. Jerry has a little conspiracy sausage there.
Well, then.
Yeah, I heard more Alvin Green news yesterday. Did you see the... I don't even know. Are they investigating that? I mean, seriously, how does someone that doesn't even have a website or have campaigned at all get in? Apparently, there's a tape of him shouting at a reporter to get out of his house. He's obviously mentally not entirely there.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he said, oh, come back, make an appointment. And then when he made the appointment, Alvin Green wasn't there. He was no in casa.
How does someone like that get nominated? Unless there's malfeasance.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mm. Clearly there was malfeasance. And you know what? I'm willing to buy the Karl Rove was behind everything. All right. So the other big story yesterday, the federal government filed a lawsuit aimed at blocking a controversial Arizona law that instructs local police and sheriffs to question and arrest anyone whom they suspect is in the country illegally. The show me your papers law.
Yes.
You know what? This makes perfect sense to me legally. The Justice Department lawsuit argues the new state law violates the U.S. Constitution. Aren't these people always screaming about the Constitution, the teabaggers?
Yeah.
It argues that the new state law violates the U.S. Constitution by usurping federal authority over immigration policy, traditionally the jurisdiction of the federal government. Yeah, to me that seems fairly clear legally. I don't think, in my opinion, the federal government had any choice but to file this.
Right.
Eric Holder, Attorney General, said Arizonans are understandably frustrated with illegal immigration, and the federal government has a responsibility to comprehensively, would be the key word, address those concerns, but diverting federal resources away from dangerous aliens such as terrorism suspects and aliens with criminal records will impact the entire country's safety. Setting immigration policy and enforcing immigration law is a national responsibility. Seeking to address the issue through a patchwork of state laws will only create more problems than it solves. Governor Jan Brewer yesterday.
I'm very disappointed. I think it's wrong, but we will meet with them and we will push back and we will fight as hard as we can, and I believe Arizona will win the lawsuit.
Yeah, well, I believe that, in fact, you are wrong.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the federal government would have done more to protect Arizona's border with Mexico if only Arizona hadn't been so historically antagonistic towards the federal government.
Yeah.
There is a real hate of the federal government in Arizona.
And you lived there.
Yes,
so you
I did.
Yeah.
And they fight against the federal government at every turn. So why would the federal government pour resources into Arizona?
Well, that's what they're making this into, that, the president's attacking one of his own states. And the other thing that cracks me up is all these constitutionalists. It's like, constitutional law. What does the president know about that? Well, he was a constitutional law professor, and it's pretty clear in the Constitution that this is a purview of the federal government, not state governments. Look at how the boycotts are already hurting Arizona. It is just, you can't do this patchwork like this. They're absolutely right. You can't.
Right.
And it makes the case for comprehensive immigration reform once again. And that, in that sense, I think it's a good thing, this horrible law, because it once again proves the fact that we need comprehensive immigration reform. I was reading a story about this, and I thought, because you know how I would struggle every day? You remember to say one good thing about George Bush. I was trying to, you know what I'm saying? And the one, you remember one, he was good for the effigy business.
Yes, he was.
Somewhere, there are families in this economy that also need to eat. They're out of business because there's no more, you can't, well, you can burn George Bush in effigy. It just lacks topicality. But he was right on comprehensive immigration reform. It literally was, I think, the one issue that I think he really, you know, but he couldn't get his own party on that because So anyway, but my point is that that was, you know, back then. And but look, this is my point I always make too. Look how far to the right the Republican Party has gone. Mm-hmm. John McCain's name was on that legislation.
Yep.
The McCain-Kennedy bill was a good bill.
Right.
Was it perfect? No.
And now he's against it.
Yeah, and now because of...
He's flip-flopped, if you will.
Nutcake J.D. Hayworth, now John McCain is against McCain-Kennedy. almost as much as he's against McCain-Feingold.
Sure.
On campaign finance now, because that's what I'm saying. It's just when you are... this is the thing that cracks me up, is the storyline becomes, oh, the Democratic Party's in such disarray, this is going to be a bloodbath of historic proportions.
Actually,
look at the Republican Party. They are nominating some seriously nutty people,
yeah,
like J.D. Hayworth and Sharon Angle and Rand Paul. And I mean, they have gone so far to the right. And I know Hayworth isn't in yet, but my point is he's forcing John McCain that far to the right,
mm-hmm,
so that you can't get anything done like comprehensive immigration reform. And that's, if you look at polls, they keep talking about, oh, people support the Arizona law. They support comprehensive immigration reform. And
absolutely.
You know, if we can't get that done, then I don't know.
But you know what? The Democrats are afraid to touch that. They're not running to the legislature to put something together. Why are they so scared of it?
Because here this is where we've come from, McCain-Kennedy. Is the Republican Party has gone so far to the right. You're right. It makes the Democrats even bigger pusses. So now, that's what I'm saying. The Tea Party's done is pushed everybody so far to the right that you know, are we ever going to get comprehensive immigration reform done, which we really, really need?
Is it a third rail that absolutely nobody wants to touch? That's what it seems like to me.
Joe Biden, I don't know
why the Democrats are afraid to touch it.
I don't know. It couldn't be clearer. And you know, at some point legally, something's going to be. Now we have lawsuits within our own country over it.
Yep.
Let's go to Carol in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Yes.
You know the real. Oh, I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you.
On the West Coast, safe and sound with the rest of us over here.
Just in the nick of time for 103 degrees.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, anyway, I just wanted to say that the whole thing with this immigration thing in Arizona, they're pushing this, and so they can. They have some reason to disrupt Hispanic voters. They want to keep people away from the polls. That's what the strategy of all of this is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, and I'm not the first one to say it. I don't know where, I can't remember who said that first, but that's it. They just want to keep disrupt the voting.
Well, that's an old Republican tactic, Carol, is, you know, scaring people. They've done it to the black communities, too, in places.
They
try to scare people with misinformation that, you might be arrested if this, or you might...
Exactly, and they want to do it again. They know they're in big trouble, and they have nothing. They have nothing to offer anyone, and so they're doing this.
Well, no, but exactly, Carol. That's the other reason. You're absolutely right. They're not going to help with immigration reform because they know that would help Democrats with the Hispanic vote.
That's right.
It's all political.
It is. It's entirely political. And they don't want to keep Hispanics out of there. They don't want to keep illegals out of there because who would do all this backbreaking labor that those people have been doing for us? They've been feeding us, picking the vegetables and everything.
Well, I mean, Carol, and what I always say is, you know, you can't address the illegal immigrant problem without addressing the illegal employer problem.
Absolutely.
As well.
They don't want to do that.
Yep, and we'll talk to our union president friend about that next hour. Bo in Washington, D.C. is for the Arizona law. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Steph. I don't understand how this puts the so-called liberal mind in such a Gordian knot. The people of Arizona have the right to create whatever laws for their state they like. It's just like
not if it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, not if it supersedes federal law.
Well, no, there's a federal law against bank robbery. There's also state laws against bank robbery. We don't eliminate the
only
state
if it,
laws
only if it, that the federal law only if it goes over state lines.
The federal law, if you rob a bank, the FBI gets involved if it is a violent bank robbery, whether you go across state lines or not.
But in this case, immigration is clearly spelled out to be under federal purview, not state. That's why there's a lawsuit. I mean, that's why there's a lawsuit.
Any jack Democrat can file a lawsuit against anybody. I can file a lawsuit today against you. That doesn't mean you've done something wrong.
Oh, you're saying this is a frivolous lawsuit?
I am saying it's a frivolous, and I'm saying they'll lose.
Well, that's your opinion, but the president is a constitutional scholar, you know.
This is not a frivolous lawsuit. The courts are designed to settle questions like this. This is exactly why the courts are there.
So states have no right if the federal government just decides what state law should be?
No, we're saying in this particular case that the state, look, you don't think this is purely
Arizona's
political?
Arizona's law is almost word for word what our immigration laws are for our country.
But it supersedes federal law.
But the feds refuse to.
There you go. That's the talking point. That's what makes this political. Arizona is saying they had to do this because the federal government is not securing the border. There are more arrests under Barack Obama than under the George Bush. So he is not doing less to secure the border. Why didn't they file this lawsuit when there was a Republican in the White House?
Make this law. There should be no arrest under any president because it shouldn't be happening. You know what? There should be no arrest because there shouldn't be people.
Which is why we need comprehensive immigration reform.
There is no reform. Arizona has the right to write their own law.
No, they don't. It is not under state purview.
That's what I'm saying,
and it is clearly political because George Bush did even less to secure the border, and there was no law. All right, 46 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, Arizona does not have the right to write its own federal law, Bo.
Yeah, Bo. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stefano Mila.
I get it because we're talking about the Arizona law and the federal lawsuit. Okay, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in Madison would like to know where our last caller went to law school.
Right. I think he went to the Bordeaux School. But here's
I'm guessing
problem.
It was not the snooty Harvard and Princeton and Upper West Side liberal enclaves that Elena Kagan went to.
I'm guessing not. Here's the thing, Ball. You guys are not experts at understanding, obeying, or upholding the law. What you're an expert at is ignoring, disturbing, and breaking the laws.
Well, we were just saying that, you know, the president is, in fact, a constitutional scholar, and I think this is fairly clear-cut, which is why the federal government filed the lawsuit, don't you think?
Well, I suppose that makes him an expert just because he studied the constitutional law.
Who?
Obama.
Yeah, I suppose that makes him an expert. Yes, it does, in fact. Yes, all right. Thank you. We're talking about the lawsuit that was just filed. I think they had to, honestly, don't you think?
Yeah, they did.
It's not like they make it sound like this is some sort of personal vendetta
of
Obama
not.
Against Arizona. Arizona started this by doing something that is clearly extra, I don't know if they have to call it extra-constitutional, unconstitutional.
Super-constitutional.
Help me out here.
super constitutional?
Exactly.
Well, no, Arizona does not have the right to write its own federal laws. That's the bottom line. And that's going to be decided in the court.
Yeah,
otherwise, exactly why the courts exist.
Right. Talk about a slippery slope. I mean, then any state could start doing this on almost any subject. Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I think that Arizona will win hands down because all they're doing is writing the federal laws into their state laws. And once we have, I think every state should be hostile to the federal government running their state. Otherwise, we don't have the United States of America.
How is the federal government running Arizona any more than any other state?
If they're going to come in and just take away whatever the people of Arizona want to do law-wise, they're not doing anything unconstitutional at all.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
They're
what I'm saying. The people can't just do anything they want. I mean, you can't...
And the United States of America can't have a patchwork quilt of immigration laws varying from state to state.
Then please let the federal government start obeying the law. You cannot have illegal aliens.
Well, why didn't they file this under George Bush?
Yeah.
Who enforced the border even less than the Obama administration is?
Are you kidding? Did Bush's comprehensive immigration bill go through? Everybody ranted and railed that thing out of existence. We do not want people.
The Republicans ranted and railed that thing out of existence.
Absolutely. The same exact conservative voice against George Bush that is against Barack Obama. So you can't fling in that canard of racism.
I didn't bring racism into this.
Yeah,
what
racism.
I'm saying is clearly arrests and deportations are up under the Obama administration. So
while I agree
with you, our border is still broken. I'm just saying you can't say, oh, he's securing the border less, so now we have to pass this law that's unconstitutional.
It is not. Read it. There is nothing unconstitutional about it at all.
Well, you know better.
I'm just saying, it's
obey the law. No, it's superseding federal law. That's what's unconstitutional about it.
We will see about that.
Do you think Eric Holder has read it?
Pardon me?
Do you think Eric Holder has read the Arizona law?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Now, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see. This is what happens in lawsuits. One people win and some people lose.
All right. I'm gonna put my chips on Eric Holder.
Yeah.
Just saying.
My friend Travis says it's a super constitutional expialidocious.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, we didn't know the exact legal term.
Yeah.
We both went to Bo's Legal Barn.
Yeah.
Boise. All right, Nancy in Texas.
Hi,
go ahead.
I'm just so happy that you sound happier, Stephanie, since you live back home.
I am happier.
Anyway, I hope your foot heals well and
thank
your dog's. Forgive you, but
thank you. By the way, still looking for a podiatrist in Los Angeles. Hello, hello. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just calling because I used to live on the border. I was raised as a child on the border of Texas and Mexico. In fact, I lived on a federal property. My dad worked on a dam that was on the Rio Grande River.
Okay.
And the facts are that the border is patrolled and run by the federal government, not the state. It is a federal domain of control, not a state domain. Everybody that works on the border, that checks people in and out, border patrol and immigration and I forget the other, there's another organization.
Well, that was Eric Holder's point, is it is a national security risk to not have the federal government be in charge of this.
And the other thing I think that's going on that we're not talking about is that this thing about immigration has become something else that the Republicans can privatize. Because what they've mm-hmm. been doing is building private prisons all over the United States to round up these, quote, illegal people and put them in a prison that is almost impossible to get out of. And they are even rounding up brown people that are American citizens. And I just think that the states are, it's not about states' rights, it's about private rights over federal rights.
Well, right, and this is supposed to be the party that's tough on security, and this is Eric Holder's point, Nancy, is this is a threat to security to be focusing, exactly, you're focusing law enforcement's attention on the wrong stuff.
Right.
This would take up all of their time if they were to enforce this Arizona law.
And all of their money.
Yeah. Ryan in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, Rob Blagojevich tried to pass a similar law in Illinois that had to do with immigration. And George Bush actually sued the state of Illinois to go against Blagojevich, the same type of law. And George Bush won in court.
Thank you. Probably for the same reason. It wasn't him personally, because the government had, the federal government had to.
And one more thing. Where are the climate change deniers now?
Where are the what?
The climate change deniers.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Is Sean Hannity doing anything how hot it is in
New York? Weather has nothing to do with climate. You know, we're just going through a hot spell.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We once again apologize. Mama got bumped off Larry King for that alleged skank ho, Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
All right.
Alleged?
I have FU on my fingernail all morning, pointing right at Lindsay Lohan.
Might I suggest that you subscribe to Stephanie's Twitter feed or to her Facebook page, because we can send out messages instantaneously that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you'll know the breaking news when I'm bumped through. Hello! Adidas Ababa, you have a question for Skanko.
Adidas Ababa? Adidas Ababa?
I don't know. All right, you know, Mama has the smartest kids in class. Caller, did you miss the yelly caller, Bo, Jim? He said that...
Yeah, I missed him!
He went to, I don't know, Bo's legal barn or something, and it says that Arizona's going to win the lawsuit. The fine Americans that are in Mama's class, they're the smartest kids in class. Chris and Yankton, yelly caller Bo, who kept claiming Arizona can make whatever laws it wanted, the U.S. government can't supersede them. Does he think Arizona can issue its own currency, print its own money, conduct its own foreign policy?
Yeah!
Seriously, if we follow Bo's argument, every state is an independent country unconnected to the federal government, which is obviously not the case. What an idiot. But he yells really loud, so we know his argument is valid.
Yeah. Chris
and Yankton. David writes, next time a T-bagger calls in about the Arizona lawsuit, give them the Jeff Toobin analogy. If Mexico was conducting raids on Arizona, Arizona would not have the right to declare war on Mexico. That's the job of the federal government. Same thing for immigration law. Just because the Fed isn't doing as good a job as Arizona thinks it should, doesn't give them the right to supersede federal law. David, thank you very much. Smartest kid in class. Paul writes, states can't have their own laws to deal with immigration because an illegal doesn't come into the state illegally. They come into the country, and the law can't vary from state to state. How about if one state said it's okay for illegals to come in? There has to be one law governing all states. Paul,
exactly.
Thank you. Jerry writes, hi, Steph. Did any of these right-wingers read history? Remember the Civil War? One of the reasons for that war was to establish federal authority over the states. Lincoln was a Republican. And I remember one personally. Eisenhower, a Republican, sent troops to Little Rock to enforce school integration. Remember the Little Rock Nine. Jerry, another of the smartest kids in class. Oh, Danielle writes, hey, Mom and the Mooks, here's a little rundown why the immigration law is unconstitutional. Shano helped me on the legalese parts of it.
Ooh.
He's the official lawyer slash montage maker.
And rum drinker.
Of the Stephanie Miller Show. the government is using is the supremacy clause, but as you can see, there's several other reasons the law shouldn't stand. She sent a whole summary. We can put a link up to that. All right. Thank you, kids. Oh.
So these people fly the American flag on July 4th from their houses, but apparently they don't believe in the United States of America.
No, that's not when it's something they don't like. Okay, it's...
Suddenly the stars and bars pop up. Oh, interesting. That worked out so well last time.
Time for Right Wing World, and I'd like it Frisch, please.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. For Media Matters for America. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, as always.
Absolutely.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, convicted felon G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, what
We haven't heard from him in a while.
The conquistadores who came over from Spain into, south of the border down there and conquered it, you know, they were tall, fair people, and there are still some of their descendants down there, but the vast majority of them are Indians.
Right.
They're short and they're squat and, you know, little Indians.
Short, squat, little brown, red Indian.
Oh, my God. Wow.
What do you do with that little racist lasagna?
Wow. And, you know, the first thing that pops to mind, Carl, is he still has a radio show? It's just, let me get that. It's 3 hours of that every day?
Yeah, 3 hours of that.
He only planned on killing a couple journalists when he was, you know, during the White the Watergate affair. So, you know, if you played the rest of that clip, instead of making him look corny, you would have heard that he said they're short, they're squat, and they've got lots of gold that they'd like to sell to me because gold is a good investment.
Oh, boy. All right, Judge Andrew Napolitano on the Fox Business Channel on the oil spill.
When the government demonizes BP, when it shakes down money from BP, when it threatens BP to the point where it might have to go bankrupt and another sovereign government like Great Britain might have to shore it up, it's doing as much damage to our constitutional liberties as the oil spill did to the Gulf Coast.
Oh, it's so sad. Aww. All those billionaires.
I see.
Sell one of their yachts.
So it's the government that's causing them to go bankrupt, not the fact that they've caused...
They haven't done anything wrong. It's not like they spilled oil. The oil kind of spilled itself after their platform blew up. So it's not really their fault.
No, or as Rick Perry said, it was an act of God. You know how that is.
Well, it was an act of God. The oil companies are God to their conservatives. So, you know, it's not surprising that they think that.
Yeah. All right, Rush Limbaugh, the president.
Washington is paralyzed today until I issue my findings on this. The first thing I have to say, but Cynthia Tucker and Steele will only have the gig if he's black. Let me if Obama weren't black, he'd be a tour guide in Honolulu.
Oh.
Or he'd be teaching Saul Alinsky constitutional law or lecturing on it in Chicago.
Mm.
So he admits he's from Hawaii, at least.
Well, okay, there is that.
Something.
That's a win.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to wait every couple weeks for Rush Limbaugh. I don't know if he goes off his medication or something, but for him to get really down in the dirt racist. It only happens every couple weeks, whether it's we have to bend over and, grab our ankles because his father was black, or calling him an African-American, or playing Barack the Magic Negro. That stuff doesn't happen every day, but it happens it's as if there's a little beaker inside of Rush Limbaugh that fills up with racist venom until it just can't take it anymore, and then it explodes all over the place.
Yeah, right. His blowout preventer is faulty in that sense.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That really is. You're absolutely right. We joke, but that is, what is more racist than that? Saying Barack Obama is only president because he's black. I think Michael Steele has demonstrably been pretty much the most incompetent RNC chief they've ever had. And I think Republicans would agree with us.
You don't have to take our word for it. Conservatives hate him.
I know.
And if anybody thinks out there that Rush Limbaugh is only angry with Barack Obama and that he likes other black people, no, he hates any black person who achieves any level of success. I mean, when Carol Moseley Braun was the only African-American senator, whenever he discussed her on his radio show, he used to play the theme song to the Jeffersons, Moving On Up, in the background.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, look at, Donovan McNabb. The media is desirous that a black quarterback do well. Gee, I don't know. Or maybe Donovan McNabb's a really good quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
No, nobody can do well, by their own virtue in Rush Limbaugh's world.
Yep. Rush Limbaugh on the Michael Steele.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Steele says things from time to time I disagree with. Sometimes he says things that are even odd. But the center of the universe is not the RNC. It's right here. The Excellence in Broadcasting Network.
Oh, my God.
What Steele said is not worth the attention that it's received. It's getting it only because Democrats would love to write the story that Republicans fired a black guy. That's what they want.
So he's kind of admitting he's the head of the Republican Party, which is...
It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they finally started putting in his paycheck or something, but he's been the leader of the Republican Party since 2006, at least 2008.
Well, I mean, isn't that... So And isn't that interesting? That's really what the Republican Party are doing. They're kind of just working around Michael Steele. They're just going to leave him in, but he's not really.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah. Think about it this way. Rush and Fox are the communications apparatus, and then Karl Rove from Fox News is building that couple $100 million campaign slush fund to usurp the spending of the Republican Party.
Right.
So, they don't trust the RNC or Michael Steele.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Kristol on the Britt Baer on the Arizona law.
So I think the federal government's going to have a tough time making the case, which really, so from a strictly legal point of view, if you're in the Solicitor General's office, they do not bring close call cases against laws that have been passed by a Democratic legislature that haven't been enforced yet, even. You can't really prove it's a burden yet. As Mara said, they haven't done anything. So why are they bringing this case? They're bringing this case because it's part of the president's attempt to rally Hispanic voters for November.
The same reason that George Bush brought almost the exact same lawsuit, right? Yeah.
As if simply believing that a law is unconstitutional isn't enough to bring a case. I think they doff protest too much, and they're too happy when it's their own thing. I mean, how many states said that they were going to come out against health care?
Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
Which, it had no legal basis, obviously, right?
No, it's not like Medicare and Social Security had ever been found constitutional. Certainly there's nothing like that, except for, I guess, health care. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, we all know the president did it as a personal vendetta, as O'Reilly says.
Talking Points believes the president may be worried about losing the support of Hispanic Americans, thus the legal action against Arizona. But I'm not so sure about the strategy. With about 70% of Arizonans supporting the new law, some of them must be Hispanic. So the president might be miscalculating. Be that as it may, the truth is that once again, Mr. Obama finds himself at odds with the folks.
The folks.
Never a good thing.
I mean, Carl, isn't this the basis of law? A state can't just decide. It's like, X percentage of the people in this state want, fill in the blank, something ridiculous. You can't just go, if they want it, then it's okay.
No, it's absolutely bizarre logic. It's the same logic that Fox News uses about global warming. When it's cold outside, there must be no global warming. Well, Obama must be doing this to get the Latino vote back. Well, does that mean that conservatives and Republicans are doing it to make sure that they never get the Latino vote? The logic that O'Reilly's trying to shove down our throats is just perplexing because if one side of the coin has to be true, then the other side has to be true. And I don't think Republicans even care if they get the Latino vote, as long as they can look nice and racist for their crusty old white base.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Carl Frisch, Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Thank you.
There he goes. He's Frisch. I think I have found a educational institute that will rival Bo's legal barn.
Oh, yes.
Our caller from last hour, and I'll tell you where it is.
Oh, okay.
It's It's Fox related. 18 minutes
past
the hour.
Oh, yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Sorry, I was repumping my boot.
Really?
Yes.
That's what the kids are calling.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good Lord.
I have a broken foot and I have a boot on, and it's hard to tell exactly what the right, inflation is.
Well, how boot that?
Can I just tell you, Jim Ward, it does not matter if you are disabled in any way. He is still squeezy.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday he dropped me. He was nice enough to drive me home. And I had what was I doing? Oh, I was bending over to get something because I have a boot on. I was trying to find my garage door opener and I don't know.
Whatever.
And he was like, yeah, back that up. Bring me my pad, Jiggles.
Oh, Jiggles.
thick, dip the gorgeous butter back up in here.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Did you say, oh, you get away?
By the way, did he offer to get out and help me? No, he just wanted me to...
By the way, there's another problem with your car.
Would you like the update on Mama's car? Okay. Yeah, Danny from Chicago called yesterday. Stephanie, swear to God, the car's on its way to you from Texas there. And so I don't know, maybe tonight. You may not be driving Miss Steffi tomorrow. Don't know.
However.
Tonight, maybe tomorrow.
We had to take a little detour.
Yeah. If your car arrives at midnight.
Yes.
There's still a whole bunch of crap in your front seat.
Yes, if only I had some burly friends that I worked with that would come and help Mama with her broken foot.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, and no, not in the middle of the night. Do you want me fresh as a daisy tomorrow?
Yes, I'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. Here's the, by the way, so Bo's Legal Barn has to be quite the, too bad Elena Kagan didn't go there instead of those snooty East Coast type enclaves. He's our caller that said the federal government's going to lose the lawsuit against Arizona, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Blah, blah. Perhaps he would like, he hasn't heard, he could have gone to Glenn Beck University.
Yes, this exists.
Yes, not kidding. Fox News host Glenn Beck announced that he has launched an online, quote, academic program. Teaching classes in religion, American history, and economics.
But you have to supply your own crayons.
The classes are available to anyone who signs up for Beck's Extreme Insider Package, which costs $6.26 per month. Which I think that's kind of what that education will be worth.
What do you get for this?
I'm guessing the right wing is hoping that our next Supreme Court nominee, that that's where they will have gotten their degree, online at Glenn
is this some kind Beck of pyramid?
University for $6.26.
Is this some kind of pyramid scheme that he's started?
That sounds like some kind of Freemason numerological thing, 626. There's some weird, there's something in there. That's,
what
oh
the
my
fox?
God. 626, my friends, you know what I mean, 626.
Going to be a nation of stupid conspiracy theorists.
And you see here on the board is a picture of Stalin, and I've drawn an arrow to Barack Obama. The only conclusion is that Adolf Hitler is the love child of Aretha Franklin and Joe Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
It's so incredibly obvious. Why won't people see it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'll be what your kids will be learning at the Glenn Beck University thing there. All right, speaking of crazy right-wingers, Sharon Engel has compared herself to Abraham Lincoln. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Well, the beard is very, very similar. I can see that. She's not quite as tall, though.
Her primary win, by the way, a surprise to many of her supporters, including this radio host guy. She was on Bill Manders.
Oh, he's good.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, he's...
He said, you surprised everybody and won this nomination, prompting Engel to compare herself to Abraham Lincoln.
In what way?
Exactly, funny you should ask. She said, well, you know, it's just like Abraham Lincoln. He lost quite a few, but he won the big one. Manders, yes, he did. Engel, he won that one that mattered for the country. And really, that's what we're in now. You see, America, it is just as important to the country that Sharon Engel win this race in Nevada as it was that
the
Abraham
Union survived.
Saved.
Yeah, the Civil War.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slavery didn't.
Manders then suggested Engel had softened her hard right image since she won the primary. She said, well, you know, we're in a general election. She replied, I actually softened because I'm being held accountable for every idle word, you know.
Yes, that's what happens.
Crazy. Did I say destroy Social Security? Oh, I was just chatting on the porch.
Softening her right-wing image. It's not Hitler combing his mustache, so it's not quite as severe.
She then apologized for saying that the unemployed are spoiled. Remember that one? She didn't mean that. Was idle chatter.
Did you see that the Harry Reid campaign has combed the Internet archives for every crazy position that Sharon Engel has had and has posted stuff that used to be on Sharon Engel's website,
yes,
but is no longer there.
Disappeared.
You know what? How many times have I told her she should have gotten Carbonite?
And yes.
See? Every crazy position she ever had, gone. She probably had a power outage, Chris, something.
But
Harry Reid has gone through the Internet Archives and has resurrected them and has posted them.
And I think she's trying to sue. It's proprietary.
I bet you some stupid producer of hers lost her laptop, Chris. I bet you that's what's happened.
Oh, that never happens.
But that laptop that I lost couldn't have even gone on the Internet, Stephanie.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me look at you, Fred.
She's gotten her boobies.
Oh, I'd better go get my magnifying glass.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, Noel in Los Angeles. Hello, Noel.
Hey, Steph. Hi, Mook. Steph, welcome back to L.A. We love you.
I love you back, baby.
Well, listen, what I don't love is that I can't believe you just said that Glenn Beck is actually running some sort of, what, cyber university?
You can get
like
an online degree at Glenn Beck something.
Yeah, but you
whatever. University.
Yeah, but this reminds me of those religious televangelists who used to hijack people's brains and then take their money.
Yes.
And so, you know, after all these religious evangelists have been exposed for their hypocrisy with drugs and sex and all that other stuff, now they've morphed themselves into political evangelists, and that's all Glenn Beck is.
Well, if you pay to go to Glenn Beck University, you are too stupid.
Yeah, you deserve to lose your money.
For school. There's no kind of school that can help you. Billy in Washington, D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, Seth?
Good.
I also have a comment on the Glenn Beck U, if you will.
Yes.
Okay, so first off, I don't want to pay a dime to any Glenn Beck pyramid scheme, but I really think it would be funny if maybe for every dollar we spend on it, we donate some money to some other charity to make it, you know, make ourselves feel a little bit better, and we just do this thing and just kind of tell everybody how crazy it is as we're going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And Wikipedia is probably an official source for them, although it's not recognized anywhere else.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's exactly. The point.
Exactly. Yeah. How frequently, Chris, do we get callers that say, we were like, where did you get that information? It's online.
Yeah.
I got it on the Internet.
I saw it on the TV with the typewriter under it. and so there was words there, and that proves that.
Is it my Wikipedia, Chris, that you ask me every time? Were you in a movie called Happy Birthday to Me? No.
Yeah.
Computer says no.
No, that was actually IMDb.
Oh, okay. Well, just because it's on there doesn't mean it's true. I'm like, what? No.
You weren't an extra in that Melissa Sue Anderson horror movie?
No.
No?
I think we all know what I was an extra in It Shattered Vows. The Valerie Bertinelli movie is what you're thinking of.
Much better.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Please do not cast doubt on my filmography. All right.
What other movies have you been in?
Let's see. Just one.
View from the Top?
Oh, yes, that one. Well, I was that one I was just myself.
Oh.
I wasn't really
acting. You weren't acting.
No. I think that's been the main role I've played is
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. But what's the one I'm thinking of? Oh, Just Right. That's my one film.
That's right.
With Jeremy Piven, pre-mercury poisoning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was in that movie?
Sherilyn Fenn.
Okay.
And also Joe Beth Williams.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
This is quite a stellar cast. And Wallace Shawn.
He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
Yes.
And also, the voice of Lisa Simpson was in that movie.
Yes, Yardley Smith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was quite an eclectic little cast.
And didn't it show on a plane
yes,
once?
Yes, it debuted on a plane. Okay. But it did win first prize in the Santa Barbara Film Festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And why didn't it get a wider release?
I don't know. Hmm. Probably because I was in it. Daryl in Fairfax, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about some callers earlier who said that states can write their own laws, that the federal government can't tell them what to do. Well, just like there's a federal law against discrimination, if a state just gets to decide and says, well, hey, I want to discriminate for any reason whatsoever, if that supersedes or interferes with the federal law, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's
why people are complaining.
Right. Right. That's exactly what we were saying is that, you know, it seems fairly clear cut. That's exactly why the federal government has to file the lawsuit, because states can't. That's what I'm saying. States could pass any law.
Yeah. And the United States of America can't have a patchwork quilt of different immigration laws for different states. That does not that doesn't protect the United States against invasion.
Thank you. Which is basically what Eric Holder said.
Absolutely.
Yesterday. All right. Oh, here's some breaking news that I've been telling you for ever. The teabaggers, they're basically Republicans. That's what they are.
Huh?
They're far-right lunatic Republicans.
You don't say.
The deuce you say.
How many times have I been on TV? Stephanie, what is this phenomenon? The Tea Party?
The Tea Party is across the board. It's breaking all the rules.
Yeah.
It's unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah, they're Republicans. Just nuttier. Okay, just a little more far-right lunatic fringe. Gallup has pointed out those who describe themselves as Tea Party supporters are in many ways indistinguishable from and largely a subset of Republicans. Identifiers more generally. As a result, Tea Party supporters' issues, concerns are not decidedly different from those of Republican identifiers, which is what I've been saying. And I think it still is nothing but good news for Democrats, is all I'm saying. It's pushing the Republican Party farther and farther to the lunatic right fringe. Vice President Joe Biden said predictions are wrong about some grand debacle for Democrats in November. He predicted upset victories for Democrats in Senate races in Nevada and Kentucky.
Nevada.
Where we have a couple of that we've spoken about already today. Reports of our demise are premature. Biden said yesterday he predicted a victory for the Democratic candidate in conservative Kentucky, State Attorney General Jack Conway, where Republican nominee is Rand Paul, who has, first of all, had a tribble land on his head. Secondly, is...
And thirdly, doesn't need no stinking board certification to perform surgery on your eyes.
I've decided I'm qualified.
It's not like a sensitive...
I'm free to be a doctor.
Yeah, there you go with people who don't really need laws or degrees
really
or whatever.
Really should not get in the way of people wanting to be whatever they want to be.
It's not like the eye is a sensitive area.
Libertarianism, like Jim said, sounds great on paper, but when you apply it to real life, not so much.
Yeah, he literally, I am certified. I'm certified by what? By the
certified insane
board of Rand Paul that I created.
I am free to create my board of certification and employ myself as a doctor. It's my right.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's your right to go blind under my administration.
Yeah. See, he doesn't need any of these snooty elitist degrees from like a Harvard and Princeton like Elena Kagan.
Regulations that tell me I can't stick a knife in somebody's eye
places,
and call it an operation.
Schools that have buildings and are accredited or
whatever
stuff like that. That's elitist and snooty. It's not of the real people. He has a real people eye doctor degree.
The real people don't need anesthesia.
I sure am glad I had anesthesia when I had LASIK. Holy crap. That was... Wow.
All right. So Joe Biden says he gives Harry Reid a 55% chance or better to defeat, Sharon Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That is seriously. If she wins, I mean, think about it. Go to the, I mean, where did you say? Is it on Harry Reid's website where he's, Harry Reid probably got carbonite, and that's why was able to find Sharon Angle's previous crazy positions.
Actually, it's something called the Internet Wayback Machine. You can find remnants of your old website on there. Yeah.
Robert in Florida, you're on the Arizona Law. Hello, Robert.
Hey, I have a question. The federal government has put out this book of laws. It's called Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations. And every state in the country has adopted those laws. They're pretty much the same thing that Arizona's doing with the federal immigration law, okay? Every state in the country can stop me at will and just randomly, me not doing anything wrong or anything like that, and ask me for my driver's license, my vehicle registration, proof of insurance, a DOT physical card, paper, any kind of paperwork they want to see. They can inspect my truck. If I give them permission, they can go through the cab of my truck. All right.
That's because you have a truck driver's license and you signed a form that said that the government could do that.
Excuse me. What's the difference
in that and what the state of and what the state of Arizona is doing by adopting the federal law.
In order to receive a license to drive a truck in America, you have to sign a paper that says you agree to everything you just said. That is why the government can stop you.
Okay, but I'm not doing anything illegal.
Right, but you said the government, but
and they're killing our people. They're killing you.
Robert, by getting a truck driver's license, you have consented the government to stop you and ask for everything that you just cited.
Okay,
that is why the federal government can do it to you.
But see, here's the thing. It's the states that are doing it to me. Every state has adopted these laws.
Right.
What's wrong with Arizona adopting a federal law and doing the same thing?
Because immigration is under federal purview. It's in the Constitution.
Okay, so is motor carrier safety regulations. It's under federal jurisdictions, but the states
each state has a right to set its own driver's laws, driving laws. That's a state by state issue.
They adopt the federal laws.
What is your issue with able to stop you, or
they adopt the federal laws in order to get funding from the federal government?
My issue is if they can adopt the federal law concerning whether it's commercial vehicles or anything else, why can't one state adopt the federal law concerning immigration?
Because it's a matter of national security. Truck driving is not.
Oh, well, it depends on what he's carrying.
Well,
let's I don't know. Let's go to Pete in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pete.
Hey, isn't the sanctuary city laws, doesn't that sort of make a patchwork quilt out of immigration law as well? Some cities enforce it, some don't. Do we even have an immigration system? How does that work?
Immigration, I think what we're talking about is federal immigration is under, it's under federal purview. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Right. Yeah, when a city becomes a sanctuary city, it chooses not to enforce the laws that are already on the books.
So what's the difference between that and a state or a city choosing to enforce laws that are on the books? And how does that not make a patchwork quilt?
Well, it is. That's what we're saying. I mean, that's part of the problem. We're saying we shouldn't have a patchwork quilt. This is why we keep making the argument for comprehensive
immigration reform.
Thank you. 45. We finish each other's sentences. Well, it's so magical.
You know, I'm tired of these, stupid people calling up not knowing what they're talking about.
We don't mean you, sir. 45 minutes after the hour. We met in the past some other guy that called another time that we met.
Bo?
Yes. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How does this show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Clearly, you have to get up to get down. I think that goes without saying.
I've heard that.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Denise writes, Steph, that trucker guy, they can't pull him when he's in his personal vehicle off the job. He's working, and the regulations are more around his load than his person. Heh, I said load. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning. Yeah. I guess you're glad to be back on the left coast because it's horrible over here on the east coast.
Zoinks! I would certainly be enjoying that humidity, as would my hair.
My son said he melted. I have an ex-son. listen, Glenn Beck is such a fraud. People need to know that on his website promoting his little 828 rally, he's asking people to donate to a very worthy charity, the Special Ops Warrior Foundation. But if you go to the bottom of that, it says that all of those donations will go to offset his expenses for the rally, and then what's left will be donated to this foundation.
Oh, that sounds Hannity-scammity.
And so, you know, he only makes $32 million a year, so clearly he needs to scam this poor charity. So anyone who wants to donate to this, it's a 30-year-old charity. It's a four-star charity. Mm. Go to Special Warrior Ops Foundation.
Yeah,
directly.
Just FYI, most goes to Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck's private jets, if you're
right. Yes, yeah. God knows he can't afford it.
Yes, all right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Andy in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andy.
Hey, you guys whiffed a little bit with that trucker. He kept talking about the motor carrier laws, the states adopting federal regulations, and why can't Arizona do that? They're not adopting federal regulations. They're creating their own state laws that are superseding the federal regulations.
Thank you.
So,
yes.
Bye.
All right. All right. Better said.
Okay. A little more artfully said.
All right. Let's go to Patrick in Pennsylvania, also a trucker. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
You know, that guy, I don't know if he realized it, but he actually made the case for the government going after Arizona because I don't know how long he's been driving, but there was actually a patchwork of state laws that regulated truckers, and that's when the federal government stepped in with the CDL and said, okay, we're going to have one law that governs all 50
right.
states, and you guys basically just enforce the federal law, the one federal law.
Yep, exactly. And by the way, I don't want to say anything against truck drivers. Why? Because there's one driving my car here right now as we speak. I don't want to piss him off in any way.
As soon as they drop off your car, that's when you can talk
then
to
them. Then I'm going to town. I'm
okay.
It'd be a shame if something happened to your car.
Yeah, he's
again.
From Chicago, too.
I just want to say that all truckers everywhere are handsome and well endowed, particularly the one driving my car to me right now.
He might be listening to you on satellite, actually.
Come to mama, come to mama.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Ken in Missouri, also a trucker. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Stephanie. This is the first time I've heard your show, but
uh-oh.
Your partner there doesn't know his butt from the hole in the ground.
Uh-oh.
I've been driving for almost 20 years. I've never signed no piece of paper for any cop to pull over my truck, get into my sleeper, nosing around.
Do you have a truck driver's license?
Dude, I've had a CDL for almost 20 years.
Dude, then you signed it. Then you signed the paper. Dude.
I signed no paper for them to pull over my truck. You don't know what you're talking about. You go get you a CDL, then you show me a piece of paper.
Dude. Dude, when you signed the paper, you...
I signed no paper.
In order to get a truck driver's license, you sure as hell did.
No, I
know.
He's the guy. He has a trucker's license, Jim, like Rand Paul has a doctor's thing.
I decided that I am an eye surgeon.
I decided that I am a truck driver.
I'm a truck driver, and you don't. And I went to the Department of Me to get it.
Papers? We don't need no stinking papers.
Steve in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you? I want to talk real quick about this immigration thing because people don't know what they're talking about. Number one, as a person who used to practice immigration law, the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction about this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, none of the constitutional protections apply to people who are immigrants because Congress has what they call plenary power to do whatever it wants. The states have zero authority. Now, talking about the cities that choose not to enforce the laws.
Sanctuary cities he was talking about, yeah.
Sanctuary cities. They're not passing immigration laws. They're choosing not to enforce. Now,
exactly.
whether or not that's the right thing to do is a whole other issue. But Arizona cannot pass a law to enforce immigration laws. No state has that authority to do it.
Yep, exactly.
Plain and simple.
Yep, and you got, I bet, a real legal degree from an actual law place, right?
Yeah, I had to take a bar exam.
Ooh, fancy elitist.
I had to sign some papers and fill out an application.
Yeah. All right. You know what I'm going to say, Chris, going out on a limb here on this guy's trucker's license? Remember when I got a Class 2 license when I was a camp counselor when I was in college?
Right. And you drove a bus.
At the camp for overprivileged children?
And you couldn't drive stick.
No, and they but they needed us to be able to drive the buses, so they gave us like a half a day thing. Okay, there you go. There's your class, whatever, too.
Gears sound awful. What?
Wait a
minute. What's that little pedal for?
You can barely...
I used to hit curbs every day because I didn't, you know...
You can barely back your SUV up. How the hell were you able to back up a bus?
Yeah.
Many
apparently, I might
have
signed some paper, too.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I had the proper training to drive a bus full of children.
Okay.
Why do you ask?
Where's the clutch? The what?
If you can't answer key questions like that, perhaps you shouldn't. Okay, let's go to Joe in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, first of all, in regards to this guy that just spoke right now about cities not enforcing the law, when a city or members of our government refuse to enforce laws. That's against the law because they're violating their oath. But my question is this. When the federal government doesn't want to enforce the law itself, what choice do the states have and the landowners who live on that border but to defend this country?
When did they say they didn't want to defend the border? When have they said that?
There's murders going on all over across that border.
Right, but you said the federal government said that they did not want to enforce the border. When did they say that?
Barack Obama just basically gave an ultimatum, and this administration, which is in cohorts with a lot of the fucking Republicans, excuse my language.
Oh,
but these
Wait a minute, what?
Never mind. He said the F word.
Oh, I missed that entirely.
Yes, you did.
Oh, pardon me. Thank goodness you're on the dump button and not me. You got a license for that dump button, didn't you? And I didn't.
I do have a broadcast license, actually.
Let's go to Joe in Illinois. Hi, Joe. Hi, Joe.
I wanted to also echo what one of the other callers had said about the guy who's upset about the federal ICC being able to stop you and all that stuff. I think that he's not looking at it right. I think it's something that he should value, because if the states had the right to make their own rules, and then he's driving through one state to get to the other, and one had a weight limit of 70,000 pounds and another one had a weight limit of 80,000 pounds. I mean, you'd be pretty frustrated as a truck driver trying to keep up with each individual law that the state had. So the federal government must have stepped in after.
Yeah, good point. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, the head of the union, the Office of Professional Employees Union, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all, their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. If you are on my Facebook page,
yes,
or you tweet me, you would have known that I got bumped off Larry King last night for that alleged skank hoe, Lindsay Lohan, Slowly I Turned. All right, I also have, you written on my fingernail, Lindsay. I only have a few waning moments with my Larry. And I get bumped for Celebutar News. All right.
Well.
All right. We will have all the latest Lohanish details.
That's right.
As we are on Lindsay Watch. We are on free Lindsay Watch.
Apparently, there are 4 news trucks outside of our house right now.
Mm, perfect.
A friend of mine is her neighbor, apparently.
You know, we focus on the important things here in Hollywood.
Yeah, we do.
Have they set up a crotch cam?
See if she's every other newscast pain. Around the country led with either the weather or something
sure.
Like.
Sure.
Yeah. Here it's Lindsay Lohan. That's what Channel 7 led with all day yesterday.
See, it'd be better if she lived on the East Coast. She could say, I don't wear underpants because it's so hot.
Hot.
All right. Instead of the fact that I, in fact, may be a skank ho. All right. Oh, Jim, did you hear the punchline from yesterday? This was Lindsay Lohan on missing the alcohol education. I never miss my alcohol education classes.
Yeah.
I wasn't missing the classes, just... I'm not going to do anything like that. I was working mostly in Morocco, the trip. I was working with children. It wasn't a vacation. It wasn't some sort of a joke.
Oh, wow. She was working with children in Morocco.
Yes.
And that's
why
she
there
got
were
the sore throat thing.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, somebody please think of the children!
That's why there were photographs of her with a sort of a white substance, lines of a white substance in the con.
Huh.
Because they were from the powdered donuts for the children!
Yes. Which are famous for
no.
Having
you know what it was? It was pixie sticks residue.
Yes.
For the children!
For the children!
Okay. You know, kids, Mama had the distinct pleasure of, with a broken foot, might I add, to go down to Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago and speak to the Office and Professional Employees International Union, of whom the president is Michael Goodwin, whom I also had the distinct pleasure of meeting. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
I am much better now. As you know, I could not find a podiatrist in New York, and then There are millions of podiatrists in your union.
That's right. We represent them all over the country. So no matter where you break your foot, we can help you.
I know. They were all clustered around me after the speech, but it was great to, come speak to you guys.
Yeah, it was so great having you, and you were wonderful. You were on the rating scale. You tipped the charts. They loved you.
And some of your helicopter pilots medevaced me out of there, back to New York, so that was very nice as well. Many, many benefits.
Well, you know, I was starting to think that our meeting was haunted. You know, when you showed up with your broken foot, one of the speakers fainted from the podium the next day. It had to be carried out on a gurney. I mean,
it's me. It's me, Michael. I'm a disaster magnet. But listen, I got to get your take on something. We've gotten into this debate all morning about the Arizona immigration law and the federal government having to sue them and yada, yada, yada. And you and I, we talked about this at the union event that, I just think it's one more reason why we need comprehensive immigration reform, because we were saying you can't fix the illegal immigrant problem until you fix the illegal employer problem as well, don't you think?
Well, I do, and we're just appalled. So many of our members on this SB 1070, and we're going to do everything we can to urge its overturning. I mean, it's just outrageous that a state can do such a thing. We support all of the efforts in Arizona to make it go away.
Right.
We do need reform, that's for sure. But this is not the way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's clearly not constitutional. Number one. But you guys, we obviously talked a lot. Every issue that you've fought for. I mean, health care. It's something that the president's out there saying you'd think it would be just things that everybody would be fighting for. But I mean, we really are getting unprecedented obstructionism from the other side, aren't we?
We are, and that's because it takes away their sweet deal that they had for years and years, and now we have some check and balances, and we think that the new health care reform bill will lower costs in the long term. It takes an investment in the beginning, but when you eliminate all the duplication of services and all the gouging and the profits and all the abuses that go on in healthcare, I think workers stand a better chance with this new healthcare reform bill.
Right. And, Michael, the other thing we talked about, with this Gulf oil disaster right before our eyes every day on the television, and I was saying, the theme, the through line that goes through between that and the Massey mining disaster, if ever there's clearer, there's a clearer case for why we need regulations and why we need unions to fight for worker safety and all that stuff, the time is now, isn't it?
Well, that's true. It's past now. And, the unions really are the last strong voice for workers, for safety and health in this country. We represent the helicopter pilots, all of them, that fly this personnel and supplies out to those oil platforms in the Gulf. And we're fighting for safety regulations all the time. Employees don't care. We see that in this disaster here, where BP bypassed a lot of the safety things that they could have done and didn't do because they wanted to save money.
Well, we were talking about that, Michael, at the event that Massey mining disaster, run coal. We don't get that. That's the number one thing. Run coal. And it looks like in the BP thing, it was get the oil out faster. That's the priority. And look at how many men are dead now. Number one, right?
Well, that's right. We lost 11 men that were killed. And I wish more attention would be focused on those workers who lost their lives because of the mismanagement of the company. This is the kind of thing that we fight for, and we need to fight even harder and stronger. And the only way you do it is to get more and more employees organized so that we can make our voices heard in the halls of Congress and in the state capitals.
Well, Michael, I was saying that it just seems like the Republicans, almost on every issue, use it as an opportunity to union bash. It looks like these auto bailouts were actually a good idea, right? I mean, GM is turning around, but when we were trying to do that, they were saying, oh, the unions need to make more concessions, even though they already made a bunch of concessions. It is amazing how whether the president needs an appointee, their main concern is the appointee will be too, quote-unquote, union-friendly. Like, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, that's right. And, you know, the unions always get bashed by opponents, and that's because unions are effective, and they want to keep us suppressed, and they don't want the workers to have a voice. In the UAW situation, I think that Ron Gettelfinger was a real leader in coming forward and saying, these are the things that we have to do to make this company successful. And he testified right next side of the General Motors people and the other auto industry people to try and save the company, keep jobs here in America. That's what he's interested in doing. And that's what unions are interested in doing, to stop the bleeding and bring jobs home so that workers here in this country can have jobs and we don't have this 17% unemployment rate that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
They call it 10, but it's really 17, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, I mean, look at out here in California. We have Carly Fiorina running, and I mean, this is what these Republicans stand for. I mean, she outsourced how many jobs and, you know, and fired how many people and says she'd do it again. You know, ran this company into the ground, and here she is, a candidate for the Senate in California.
Well, that's right, and that's why all workers in California have to unite and stop this from happening. We have to get candidates in government that actually represent workers and not represent the interest of profit-making companies making more and more millions of dollars that they don't need.
Michael, one of your issues I know would be in the Employee Free Choice Act and the card check. Explain to people what that is, because not everybody understands what it is and why we need it.
Well, we need it because basically under the current law, the employers have just abused the National Labor Relations Act completely, and they use it as a tool to union bust. So that workers want to form a union and they go down for an election, the employer commits all these unfair labor practices, fires people, there's all sorts of things that they do to workers to intimidate them. Sometimes the election is even held for years later. They really never get certified. So this needs to be corrected. And what the Employee Fair Choice Act does, it provides a card check recognition that if a majority of the employees in the workplace want to have a union and they sign cards authorizing the union to represent them, then it would be automatic bargain. They should have it. And we've taken polls in the AFL-CIO, and we've determined through these polls that 60 million people in the United States would vote for a union given the opportunity in the workplace.
Yeah.
But yet they don't get that opportunity because the employers smash and break and discharge and do all these terrible things. So we really need some reform to level the playing field and give workers at least a fighting chance to have a voice in the workplace and determine their conditions.
Well, I was talking at your event about how Rush Limbaugh, our good friend, is it's like shooting fat Oxycontin-riddled fish in a barrel some days, because he, after the Massey mining disaster, said, where were the unions here? Why weren't they protecting? It's because they wouldn't let them unionize. That mine wasn't union, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they love to trash the unions at any given opportunity, no matter how hypocritical it is. So employee free choice is something that we hope to accomplish right after the November elections. I'm hoping that it's reintroduced and that a full court press is made to make sure that workers have a fair voice.
Yep. President Michael Goodwin of the Office and Professional Employees International Union, can you please confirm from my producer, Chris, that I did not go to your event to steal office supplies?
No, you're welcome back. Even if you stole a few, it'd be okay. You'd be welcome to it. But you were just great, because you reminded people, you know, of where we're at and what we need to do. I mean, you're a great voice, for the progressive people in the country, and we need people like you on the air to continue to promote this voice.
I had a great time, and you guys just salted the earth, treated me great. I got a nurse escort up to the stage, which was my favorite.
Well, as you know, we had pilots. We could have flown you home. We had podiatrists to fix your feet. We had nurses to take care of you. So when you come to an OPIU convention, we have every profession that can take care of all
it was,
needs.
It was like that Alanis Morissette, Isn't It Ironic song. I couldn't find a podiatrist to save my life the day before in New York, and then I suddenly was in with 10,000. Yeah. All right. President Michael Goodwin of the OPEIU, thanks so much, and come on with us anytime.
Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
All right, you too. There we go.
Only you could do something about the working conditions here and the sweat.
Yeah, the sweat the shop that you make us toil away in.
Yeah, I got your card check ready. All right.
Now I'm going to get up on this counter with a cardboard sign that says union.
Tell it to the Marines. There ain't no mook union.
Damn it.
You guys are too lazy to go to the meetings. 18 minutes after the hour.
No, we're too busy because you work us like slaves. to go to a union meeting.
Because you got no union. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, wow. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Drew in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Drew.
Hey, quickly about the guy that called and said Chris don't know what he's talking about. I have a Class B license, and a few of my friends have Class A license. Mm-hmm. It is common knowledge that when you have a CDL that you can be pulled over at any time.
Right.
Yes.
Some companies that you get with, they will make you sign something. Excuse me, if you're doing a lot of hauling or a lot of delivery. And in some places, they don't, but it's common knowledge. If I worked in Northwest Washington, D.C., and there were people out there that checked the delivery vehicles, the CDL delivery vehicles, mm-hmm. if they pulled you over and they checked that vehicle and something was wrong with it, they would take you off the road. Mm-hmm. This is why a lot of employers make you fill out the pre-trip book, and you also have to have a DOT card. And if the police pulls you over and you don't have any of these things,
right.
they will pull you off the road,
yep.
and you can get fired from a lot of jobs for not having
yeah.
those two things. Those
All
two
right.
things completely.
Thank you, Drew. Yes, dude, as it turns out, you do know the fun facts about trucking. Lisa writes,
of course I do.
As much as I hesitate to agree with Chris, who doesn't?
Yeah.
He does have the right info about truck driving. I've been married to a toothless redneck truck driver for 7 years now. And I handle his paperwork. When you sign the CDL application, you agree to subject yourself to federal DOT regulations, which allows commercial drivers to be essentially spot checked whenever. So there's not a form explicitly that says I agree to allow cops to pull me over. It's implied through the application. If you do a little research, it becomes apparent.
Yep.
In addition, when you apply for a hazardous materials endorsement, you have to undergo a Homeland Security background check every few years, fingerprinting, etc. As honest as most honest truckers will tell you, though, truck drivers rarely need facts to support their opinions. They're shaped by coast-to-coast coverage of Limbaugh, Hannity, Beck, etc.
Exactly. Come on, we have a lot of good truck drivers who listen to this
we
show.
We do, and they blow their horns for me.
That's right.
So I love them.
Well, you know, driving on the roads is a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege granted by the government through a license.
Dude, you don't know what you're talking about, because Glenn Beck said that,
you know, if one thing stuck with me from driver's ed class when I was in 10th grade is that driving is a privilege, not a right.
Mm. Mm-hmm. See, I thought driver ed was the name of the teacher. I didn't really.
Mm-hmm. So that's why you drive the way you do.
I didn't realize it was an actual class.
Ah, got it.
Like Lindsay Lohan, I missed that.
Seems to me that
class.
Gun ownership should have some of the same rules as driving.
I graduated from alcohol education classes, much like Lindsay Lohan.
I did do everything that I was told to do and did the best I could mm-hmm. to, you know, balance jobs and showing
cocaine.
Up. I'm sorry.
Why does she sound like she's like a 60-year-old woman?
Yeah.
She looks like a 60-year-old woman.
Doing
wow.
Doing coke online to do that to you.
She looks so road hard and put up with that one. Yikes. All right. Eric Cantor, owner of the biggest Republican Adam's apple since Ann Coulter, mm-hmm. He declined to join calls for Michael Steele to resign as chairman of the RNC. He said, that's not for me to decide. He's elected by the RNC. We'll have to see. Looks like for the moment, he's Steel the One, as our friend Shano would say.
Steel the One.
Mm-hmm. Cantor said the RNC would remain best served if he remained solely focused on the function of running a committee headed into a crucial election cycle. He's got to keep, yes, he needs to focus and do as good a job as he's been currently doing with all that, with the fundraising.
Michael Steele, head of the RNC, got in more hot water this week.
Is Mr. Steele going to resign?
Not happening. Oh, trust me. Not me, baby.
Michael Steele, you be the man. You be the man.
You're fired.
Michael Steele. Not me, baby. Not happening. No way, no how. And you're still
the one. This is awesome. You
are still the one. Michael Steele has not been doing a fabulous job.
My bad. Get ready to get knocked over.
What? And you're still the one.
He then needs to get to work or get out of the way.
Mm. He apparently is Steele, the one. He's the one. He's the chairman of their choosing, I guess.
He's been doing a really bad job for a very long time now.
I know it.
It's the way I roll, baby.
Awesome. It's the way he rolls.
Wow.
Abject incompetence. Hey, Jim, want to see a picture of a beaver? Check that out.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a breaking beaver news. Out of Minnesota, a scene painted, that's too much beaver on that beaver. A scene painted on a beaver statue struck some observers as female genitalia. What? Where would they make that? Prompting its removal from a public art walk in Minnesota.
Come on.
Deborah Davis says her piece of art, one of 9 fiberglass beaver sculptures painted by area artist.
I didn't think George O'Keefe was still alive.
Was meant to portray a praying woman's hands.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what George O'Keefe said.
But about 20 people who sized it up as they took in downtown the sculpture walk called city officials to say they saw something entirely different as they looked at the beaver's belly. Yeah, that's what they said. And the offending statue disappeared from the public space.
Nice beaver.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's not Minnesota nice.
No, beaver disappeared. That's it's like a Rorschach, really. When you look at it, Chris, what do you see?
I see a beaver.
Exactly.
It looks nothing like Jerry Mathers.
29 minutes.
Normel Gibson.
29 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks on the phone, phoning it in. His Hump Days with Hal from Texas. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch. You're not a bitch. Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, goodness. I got a hate letter.
What?
The Arizona... It's all in the subject line, as you know, normally...
Uh-huh. Okay.
Wolverine, how do I get this to go in the big box?
Yeah, he had a little trouble in the big box. Let's see. The Arizona immigration law is constitutional. You stupid.
Stupid.
C word. Yeah, it's spelled S T O O P I T.
Stupid.
I am. Did he? Stupid. I'm a Moran, apparently.
Did he give a well-reasoned and insightful argument as to why it is constitutional?
No.
Or did he just say that?
He just
called me stupid.
I see.
Uh huh. Yeah. The nuclear winter word. When you called me one time.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Didn't I? Mm-hmm.
But cavalier?
At least not stupid, misspelled.
Right. At least I acknowledge that you're smart, kind of.
Thank you. All right. Perhaps Lurleen will help him get more of his insults in the big box next time. Good luck with that.
I work with the typewriter with the TV on it. This is stupid. I don't know how to work it.
Yeah, actually, he got a death threat in the big box. I didn't want to talk about that.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. All right.
Does need to be forwarded to the proper authorities?
Yeah, yes, we'll find so. Well, that'll...
The federal authorities? Or is it a state's issue?
I don't know. I guess he'll find out. All right. You know, it is Wednesdays, and that means, you know what I mean. Yeah, baby.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The Hump Day.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm missing you. Why are you in Texas? Why are you phoning it in?
I'm doing a benefit for the Metroplex Animal Coalition.
Oh, in that case, all right.
Yeah, Friday they raise money to low-income people spay and neuter their pets. So it's a way of solving the shelter crisis. You know, in a more organic way, like back before it becomes a crisis,
mm-hmm.
You know.
You are such a do-gooder, and it makes me so hot about you. You're always doing charity-type things.
This is true.
How is the, and are you also on tour, honey, for the DVD? The Charmageddon is out on DVD, you know. The Hal Sparks Comedy Spectacular.
Yeah, it's doing really good actually. But I'm doing a show tonight in Arlington, and then I do the charity event Friday and Saturday, and then I come back, and I'm going to be in studio with you guys for the whole show next Wednesday.
So the sexual tension may manifest itself finally.
It's entirely possible. We get everybody back in the same room together.
Mama needs a little welcome wagon. I just got back to LA, you know.
Yes, this is true. I was aware. You were lovely enough to show up at my DVD launch party with Rick Overton, and it was a party. And I was surprised you didn't pick up more people.
Yeah, it was a fabulous Hollywood rooftop party for Hal Sparks. And Edie McClurg was there, who we talked to, who was hilarious.
It's true. Yeah, another addition to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, she is now a commentator here on the Stephanie Miller program.
And she will be in studio with us next week.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. So you know all the news that you've missed here in Hollywood, how helicopters everywhere. Lindsay Lohan, as you know, has been sentenced to prison.
She's going to jail for, 8 days? Something.
Well, yeah, 90 days, but it's going to be reduced to 8 or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, for time served inside her crazy skull. Here's the thing. The only thing I would care about in that story is where are the helicopters so I could avoid the traffic when I'm driving around Los Angeles.
Yes.
All the rest of it, none of my business.
Yeah, are they going to be in the same place they were for Paris Hilton, or where will the traffic be?
People mistake that for real news a lot of times when we're in L.A. and they think, oh, people, all we care about is, you know, celebrity weddings and all that kind of stuff. We only care about celebrity weddings because we want to know where it takes place so we can avoid the traffic.
Exactly. Yeah.
And here's the lesson I think we learned from this. Try not to drive drunk when you are currently on probation for driving drunk. Yes. She got a second DUI, I believe. Oh, and did you hear the big news was that she apparently, because, you know, there was quite a bit of crying and groveling and whatever, but she apparently had a written on her fingernail and that was photographed by TMZ, and it was pointed at the judge all morning.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think she's wrong in that area. All I can hope for is that she has sort of a Robert Downey Jr. kind of turnaround, because quite frankly, his career blossomed after a similar circumstance.
That is
so
true.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we have the first female Iron Man.
The other big story you probably heard is the Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson has been caught on tape saying some rather unfortunate things to his baby mama. Hello? Oh, did we lose him? Oh, we did. We lost Hal Sparks. His line went poof. He'll call back.
He's calling back.
Guess what? There's more on the Mel.
Oh, no. Yikes.
Radar Online reporting that she has a bunch of pictures that show that Mel allegedly punched her in the eyes and then knocked out a few of her teeth. Oh. A source who has seen the photos tells Radar, you can see Oksana's two main front teeth are broken and there are bruises all over her face.
Nice.
They will come out eventually, and she's prepared to use them in the court case.
It doesn't prove that Mel Gibson actually hit her. It just proves that someone or something hit her. So,
and perhaps the person that called her a few choice names on the tape, but maybe not. But, you're right.
Yeah, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, court, right. court of law here.
Hal Sparks is back, everybody. They always come back for more. Hello, Hal.
Fair. Yes. By the way, if you're talking about Mel Gibson at this point, let's be abundantly clear. He became a jerk well before the hitting became a factor.
Yes.
So we can. There's no need to back and forth about whether or not he's an okay human being. We left that in the dust a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you're as someone that doesn't drink, but you know, even people we know that do drink, it doesn't suddenly cause you to spew racist terms if you're not a racist in the first place.
I have a lot of reasons why I don't drink, but one of the newest ones is it makes you anti-Semitic. I didn't know that.
and anti-black, apparently. That's going to be an awkward lethal weapon reunion, yeah.
Your friend is black.
That's what everybody wants to see is another Lethal Weapon movie.
that's what we were hoping for.
Yeah, I think the audience is now getting too old for that beep.
So what else is piquing your interest, politically speaking?
First of all, let's the AP has a new story. I don't know if you've seen this, but the apparently there are as many as 27,000 leaky oil wells in the Gulf.
Great.
That beyond what the Deepwater Horizon and the BP spill, there are up to 27,000 abandoned wells, and 4,600 of them, if they use the same statistics as the on-land wells, are leaking and will forever. So next Wednesday in Los Angeles after the show, and you're welcome to join me, I am going to a test drive of the Nissan Leaf, which is an all-electric car. And you may know that I now have a motorcycle.
Really? As if you could get any hotter and more dangerous.
Yeah, it's a Honda Cruiser. It's a Shadow, which I think is appropriate for me. But it's got a 3-gallon tank that goes the same range as a car. And I've just, like, my version of having had it up to here with oil is cutting my oil use to next to zero. I'm done.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. So my next car will be completely electric.
Yeah, I mean, and the other, by the way, the disastery news, it just gets more disastery by the day, is oil from the well is seeping into Lake Pontchartrain now north of New Orleans. So yeah, I mean, it really, like you say, if this doesn't convince people, we've got to wean ourselves off oil. I don't know what will.
And there's the evidence of crops being damaged as far north as Ohio.
The
toxic rain.
And there was also an unfortunate MSNBC.com headline about that. Oil entering New Orleans through the back door.
Well,
sure.
That's nothing new.
Well, petroleum byproducts aside, still a bad thing. The other thing, too, is that if you're going to, you know, if we're going to deal in this kind of thing, the Obama administration has gotten some flack for the first, when they came into office, sort of softening on some of the Bush things that Obama had campaigned against. And the oil industry did this big push to go, look, it's completely safe. A lot of people are just overreacting. And if you make us change rules and regulations midstream, it's going to lower production by 900,000 barrels a day. And that's really going to affect price. Okay, this was sort of the threat that they held up. Okay, 9 million barrels. The world uses 80 million barrels of oil a day. So 900,000 barrels of oil is minuscule. And basically they were using that as the hammer to say this is really going to affect price. In no other industry would a less than 1% or less than 2% amount. Affects the price in any major way.
Yeah, here's one thing I found that that BP does have in common with you, though. They are very good at the new media stuff. Have you seen BP has a Twitter account, a Facebook profile, a YouTube channel featuring interviews with the company employees, discussing how much they're doing. And on their Gulf Response homepage, reporters paid by BP describe poetic scenes like dolphins swimming in a ballet through sparkling waters. Yeah. Which I don't know where that's happening, but I guess on their webpage.
To distract you from the picture of a dead whale that had been burned alive.
Yeah, look over here. Ooh, look at the, I mean, they really are.
This footage is from SeaWorld. Wait a second, what?
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, another rig just like this one was in November of last year, burst into flames off the coast of Australia and gushed millions of gallons of oil into the water there. For almost 10 months. So none of this, the best thing about their PR push is that everybody who hears it, with exception of the completely soft of brain, your Mary Landrews and your Gulf State Republicans, everyone else in the United States is going, okay, these guys are full of crap.
Yeah.
Everybody. And one of the best things to happen to the Twitterverse is BP Global PR. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, I love that Twitter account.
Yeah, so people should follow at BP Global PR. It's a guy posing as BP's PR company.
It's hysterical.
Hal Sparks, we will see you live in studio next Wednesday for a live hump days.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All
right, honey. See you then.
Absolutely.
There he
Bye-bye.
Goes. Hi, honey.
Yay,
there he
bye.
Goes. House Sparks. 46 minutes after the hour. You know the queen.
What?
Isn't. So the queen is in New York.
Are we going to hear from the queen next?
I am melting under this robe. We will hear from the queen next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is that William Hung?
No.
51 minutes after the hour.
Winner of American Idol.
Okay. Yes. Someone good.
William,
okay.
He's not hung. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free for many.
You have to go there.
Reverend Jim Wallace, Congressman Alan Grayson, and Representative Joe Sestak, all tomorrow on the big show. Don't miss it. Pink's biggest pet peeve is being kept waiting for her luggage by when porters keep you waiting in your hotel or
whatever.
Here's what I can confirm for you. I just flew home from New York to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
The waiting for your luggage at LAX does take longer than the flight.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
That is the God, I hate flying into that
airport.
And I
got it at like 4 a.m. It's like busy as a... You know.
I have
and then if someone's picking you up, that's another hour.
Well, yeah. I really have waited like 55 minutes, up to an hour for my bags there before.
Yeah. What is the deal at LAX? It's just...
Good.
Well, it's
God.
A badly designed airport. It made sense in 1964, but now it's a bit dated.
It was the first airport built for the jet age.
That's right. That's
unfortunately, I wasn't tired at all or had a broken foot, so I was perfectly happy to wait hours for my 17 bags.
And, of course, LAX provides plenty of seating for people like you at the baggage
But I love the
claim.
Jetsons restaurant there.
That's
I felt like punching a punching bag arcade game to death, but I didn't. This is the breaking news from a man from Idaho arrested for... Now, there's an anger management problem. He was arrested for punching a punching bag arcade game to death. 30-year-old Dustin Gooden, who appeared intoxicated, became angry while playing the punch game at a bar, so he punched and shattered the screen of the game and injured his hands. Because you're not supposed to actually punch it, you see it.
You're supposed to punch the bag, you're not supposed to punch the screen.
I sure show that game. My hand is broken.
It's like when you don't like something on your television, and you then you realize the next day.
I need a hand doctor.
You're like, that thing's not on my television anymore that made me mad, and now I have no television. Damn it! All right, the Queen was in New York, you know.
New challenges have also emerged, which have tested this organization as much as its member states. One such is the struggle against terrorism. Another challenge is climate change, where careful account must be taken of the risks faced by smaller, more vulnerable nations, many of them from the Commonwealth.
She pronounced the word vulnerable like she was drunk. Vulnerable nations.
That's not the soundbite I wanted. This is the one I wanted. Here it is.
Oop. Oh, no.
The Queen is... Not the Queen likes heavy
not
metal
Mercury.
Now. What?
There.
Hello. Despite the ghastly heat and humidity, and yes, we are indeed all sweaty in this hole, whatever that means, we are pleased to once again visit the United Nations and, for the seventh time, to address the General Assembly. We are also pleased to note that the former ambassador to the United Nations was not successful in his diabolical plot to blow up the top 10 floors of this august institution. Also, we are not a fan of his musical styling. His excruciating caterwauling in the 1980s was responsible for windows and eardrums shattering around the world. The crust of the earth shifted by several meters. Cats were sleeping with dogs, a crisis of biblical proportions. Besides, Michael Bolton's voice reminded us of nothing so much as a corgi caught in a blender set on puree.
Oh, no.
A scenario which we found particularly appalling, as you must readily understand. Needless to say, we were not amused. We beg your pardon? John Bolton? You mean the man with the walrus moustache? Oh, dear. In the immortal words of Dame Emily Letella, Never mind.
Thank you very much. I was at the UN. Not that. Remember, I did the show from the UN a few weeks ago.
And you wondered why.
Me doing fart jokes, and now the Queen.
And you wondered why you were there, too.
Still don't know.
But we talked to the, Canadian ambassador, did we?
Yes, and you guys laughed. You were, giggling like the guys on South Park.
Because he was saying a boot.
Hey, because he said A to Z.
A to Z.
Which was cracked you guys off.
Awesome.
So, everything from A to Z. Pass me that serviette that we're there. Yeah,
and we talked to the French ambassador, which was kind of cool.
On the Chesterfield.
Yes. And you guys laughed at that, too, because he did sound like the candlestick.
I am not Jerry Orbach. I do not even resemble him in the littlest, in the least, in the smallest. I'm not a candle.
Because foreign accents make us giggle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is why you should never, ever go to the UN ever again.
Mm. Who wants the BP, the oil strike, the board game, everybody? Did you see this? This is spooky. In the 1970s, there was a BP-enforced board game called Offshore Oil Strike on the thrills of drilling. The game wasn't very popular, but now bears a spooky resemblance to what is happening in the Gulf. A museum owner said the parallels between the game and the current crisis are so spooky, the picture on the front of the box is so reminiscent of the disaster with the stormy seas, the oil rig, and an overall sense of doom. It's just knocked over by how relevant this game is, despite being made some 35 years ago to BP's troubles today. Players must avoid hazard cards which read blowout, rig damaged, oil slick cleanup costs, pay $1 million.
$1
million? Yes.
Huh.
$1 million.
Huh. Wow. That's Tony Baloney's lunch money.
Yeah,
exactly. I've got no word on whether you need to have sharks with friggin' laser beams.
Even eerier, there was an album cover, I think it was just a year before 9/11, depicting a plane flying into the World Trade Center.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
As we mentioned yesterday, tar balls have now hit Texas, which means every single state on the Gulf Coast has been hit by oil. As you recall, Governor Rick Perry had questioned whether the spill was just an act of God and said that any politically driven decisions could put the U.S. in further economic peril. From time to time, there are going to be things that occur that are acts of God that can't be prevented. Mm,
like tar balls on the beach.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Great.
Good job, Texas. Good job on that one. That's it for us. Don't forget tomorrow, Reverend Jim Wallace, Representative Alan Grayson, Eric Bollard of Media Matters, and Representative Joe Sestak. We will see you then. I'd like to thank Chris LaBoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.